It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you for listening wherever you might be, anywhere in North America. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is holding it down for us in New York City. And you could be listening on the free Odyssey app. If you are, thank you. If you tuned in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, thank you. You got us on Sirius XM channel 158. Thank you. If you're listening on a smart speaker, I appreciate you too. You believe in technology and I believe in you. We'll be hanging out for the next 2 hours. It's a 4-hour show. It gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We've had a fun show already. Thank you so much to our guest last hour. Helped get us all set and ready for the college football season. Dustin Lewis joined us, covers the Florida State Seminoles for Sports Illustrated. He got us all set for the game tomorrow between FSU and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Looking forward to that game. Start of the college football season. And how about this? In about 20 minutes, we're going to have a conversation with George Bremer. He covers the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, we talked about the Colts to open the show. Anthony Richardson had some good moments last night against the Bengals. Or should I say the Bengals backups. And then he had some bad moments against the Bengals backups. And what we get out of Anthony Richardson, I have no idea. We're going to ask George Bremer about Anthony Richardson and what this means for Shane Steichen and what happens with Flacco and how the Colts fit in and the AFC South. There's a lot of questions, and so we'll chat with George. Next segment, you don't have to wait too much longer. And if you've missed a minute of the show, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. If you want to call me, you can do that too. The phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You could also find me online. I'm on the internet. I am everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. And as a part of that conversation we had about the Seminoles, when we spoke to Dustin Lewis from Sports Illustrated, we talked about Keon Coleman, who played for the Seminoles last year, is now playing for the Buffalo Bills. We talked about what we think the Bills can do in the AFC East. And then, you know, obviously, speaking of AFC East, we talked a little bit about the Jets. We have no idea what happens with head coach Aaron Rodgers. No, that wasn't a mistake. I called him the head coach. We have no idea what happens with the acting coach and Rob Saleh and the general manager and Joe Douglas. But if this season goes to the toilet, everybody's gone. Everybody is gone. But I think the Jets, I think they have what it takes to get into the postseason. I think at minimum they'll get a wild card spot. And we'll see what happens with the Jets. We'll see. And so right now the New York Jets are preparing for a game tomorrow against their, Hickey, what would you call them? Co-tenants? I don't know.
What, landlords? Don't the Jets pay rent?
Oh, my God. No. They share that place. Really?
I mean, they share it, but weren't, I believe, right? No. Weren't the Giants owners the ones that shelled out the money?
I don't know. Really? No. I think they did it in tandem. Are you kidding me?
No. Well, I could be wrong. I mean, I'm wrong about a lot of things. I thought that's what happened. No?
Do the Jets pay rent?
That'd be funny.
What is this place for? MetLife?
I think that's the Chargers pay rent now. I think it's like $1 a year, but I believe they pay rent to the Rams.
I think so. I think that's the case. The New York Football Giants and the Jets paid for the venue. It costs $1.6 billion to design and construct. It's crazy. It's crazy. They already need to rip it down and renovate it.
It's crazy. They spent all that money and said, yeah, this looks good. Let's build this aluminum tin.
It's listless. And Hickey, I'll tell you this. I worked with MetLife when they opened it. And I've seen every inch of the place. And even looking at it all these years later, it's been there for now 15 years. Wow, that's a long time ago I saw that place. It's been there 15 years. It has nothing to it. There's nothing. It is simply just there. It's out. It was probably outdated from the day they opened it up.
You're right. There's no personality. It's so bad. It's an eyesore to look at. It's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, they can't control that, but still, I mean, make it worth coming to. They definitely don't do that.
No, not at all. It has no personality. And I get it. The Jets and the Giants have to share it. And so you flip a switch and one day the colors are green and you flip a switch the other day the colors are blue. I get it. They could have done something to give it a little bit more life and personality. And so it's been a longstanding tradition that every summer the Jets and the Giants, they play a preseason game, right? You don't have to worry about the logistics. Everybody can sleep in their own bed. You get to practice against another NFL team without having to go and travel. Makes all the sense in the world. I mean, given that the stadium is named MetLife Stadium, they've even taken an additional step to give it a stupid gimmick a couple of years ago and say, hey, the winner of the preseason game gets the Snoopy Bowl. It's like, oh, here we go with the nonsense. I believe they stopped that a couple of seasons ago. And so instead of Snoopy, instead of cartoon dogs and fun and all of this stuff, we get the good stuff. We get two teams in two different directions. The Jets trying to just swing for the fences and just hit a grand slam. And the New York Giants, they're just trying to see whether or not they have a decent quarterback in Daniel Jones. And I'm not going to beat the Daniel Jones situation into the ground. I feel like we've done that enough over the past several weeks, the past several months, the past several years. He won a playoff game against Minnesota, did it at the best possible time when they needed to figure out his contract status. And they won a playoff game. Him and Saquon did great. Saquon got tagged, and Daniel Jones got 4 years, $160 million. And it's just like, well, even before that, he was injured and hurt. Afterwards, last year, injured, hurt, torn ACL. And so this is a make or break season for Daniel Jones. And whether or not he's going to be a backup somewhere or whether the Giants are going to continue to ride out with him now that he has a little bit of help in the receiving game, more help, I should say, with Malik Nabers. And so the Jets and Giants have been, practicing. They've been practicing together. They've been scrimmaging together because there's nothing worse than practicing against the same damn guys every day. You want variety. You don't eat the same thing every day unless you're Hickey. Hickey, you variate, there are variations in at least breakfast and dinner, right?
Smoothie every morning along with coffee.
Okay.
Dinner, I'm going to put an asterisk on dinner just because I'm here, obviously, every night for dinner time. So I can only eat what I can eat with a fork, which is mostly pasta. So a lot of pasta, but I'd have more variety if I worked a different shift.
Okay. But I do know you have that that PB&J every day.
Two a day, every day, non-negotiable.
Two. Okay.
Of course. And growing boy.
Two. Okay. Are you still? Have you grown?
I mean, you never know. Growth spur could happen at any point. Staying in shape just in case you get the call.
What are you, Victor Wembanyama?
Man, maybe. Look, this time next year, maybe.
When Victor Wembanyama, when he comes back in about 2 months and they what do you call that thing? They measure him again. Is he going to be an inch tall? He is, right?
Oh, like the physical? I mean,
yeah, he's going to be an inch tall, isn't he?
What is he, 19?
No. Can he buy a drink? I think he's 21. I think
21?
I think he's 21 flat. So he might be done.
He's in that, tail end where he could shoot up an inch.
If a guy is already seven, he's 20 years old. Oh, my God.
He's young.
He's not even 21. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Nah, he's dead. Look, if you're 7'4", you're just going to grow until you're 30, I guess. Like, he doesn't even have, like, what is the thing called? Giantism? He doesn't even have that.
Oh, there's a term for it. I guess it goes the other way, too.
What's the guy's name? Andre the Giant. Like, he had a pituitary gland issue. Like, Victor Wembanyama don't have that. He's just tall. Kevin Durant doesn't have a pituitary issue. He's just tall. Joel Embiid doesn't have one. He's just tall. Man, what a guy. Anyway, you're eating PB&J every day. And meanwhile, and maybe that would help Daniel Jones. If he had two PB&Js every day, maybe he wouldn't tear his ACLs. Anyway, the Jets and the Giants have been practicing. And if you saw Daniel Jones last week in preseason against the Texans, he threw a pick six, and then he had to look decent the rest of the game. He's an easy target. People are making fun of him every step, every opportunity, every chance that they can get. I mean, even Sauce Gardner, he was asked about Daniel Jones. How does it feel? What does Daniel Jones look like out there? And Sauce, his answer was, let's just say it wasn't flattering. It was kind of, it's sad what he said. Listen to this interaction.
He's a good quarterback. You feel me? I thought I was about to pick him off today. I had a little cloud rep. You know, he had looked at the last minute to try to throw the check down to Wandale. You know, I thought I had to pick, but he kept it. The competitive periods, it was very competitive, man. It was great. Like, I had fun out there today, you know. I don't really know what to say.
Damn. What a ringing endorsement that is. Wow. Daniel, does anybody like Daniel Jones? Hickey, does his family like him? Do they like him?
Better like him with that paycheck he's getting.
All right. $40 million a year?
You can't afford to hate him. That's just a bad business decision.
His family will leave him by the time he's backing somebody up in a year or two. Maybe next year. Maybe this year. Who knows? This guy can't garner favor from the opposition. His own general manager's son wants to get rid of him. Daniel Jones must go to work and just, he must like spit at the door when he walks in. You know, not like nobody here wants me. And he better just go out there and turn it around. At least he has somebody who wants to help and support him. Okay? Darius Slayton, his best wide receiver option for the past couple of seasons. And if you don't know who Darius Slayton is, maybe that's the point. He says, I don't know what Sauce Gardner's intent was. I think I saw a tweet, he said, where he got distracted or something like that. And that's why he paused. And Sauce Gardner did say he got distracted. But whatever it was, regardless, it's easy to say negative things once there's a negative narrative around a person. But it doesn't always make sense. Well, in this case, it doesn't make it true. Nor does he see him on a day in, day out basis. I don't think they asked him about, you know, what do you think about him as a QB? Of course, he's basing it on what he's seeing. But here's the reality. What's the narrative around Daniel Jones? He controls it. And Darius Slayton went on. I'm not going to read all of it. He's like, hey, you know, part of it's because we play in New York and everything gets overblown. People have so much control, so much more control over the stories that get painted around them than they ever realize. What has Daniel Jones done? What has taken place? What has occurred where people think he sucks? He can't stay healthy. He's up, he's down. He's had one like long-term large success, one season, the one that got him paid. People thought that he was drafted too high by Dave Gettleman. Like, it's not, this is not a media concoction. The negative comments aren't there. When Daniel Jones got tackled by the grass, I didn't make that up. Nobody make that up. He did that. When he tore his knee, he did that. His surgeries, his injuries, that's part of the game, but he's the one who's gotten hurt. If you want to say anything, is that he hasn't had a better wide receiver than you, and that's not all that good. Hickey, do you think he gets a bad break? I just think I think the criticism for him is justified.
I agree. In part because the one year where they did go to the playoffs 2 years ago, won a playoff game, he was not the main catalyst. He was not the guy carrying the team right. And part of it's injuries, part of it's inconsistency, but he just doesn't inspire confidence that he can truly be the guy going forward. And I think that's, you know, when you're paid like you're the guy and you're not the guy, you open yourself up to a world of criticism.
And we're gonna see him be criticized all the season long. Just so far, I've seen him miss Malik Nabers. I've seen Malik Nabers drop a pass. Malik Nabers is going to be his best friend. I would move that dude into my house because he might be the dude who's going to save my ass and keep me employed. Because if this year does not work out for Daniel Jones, I said this a couple of days ago, Daniel Jones is heading to backup city. And days with the Giants are over. The writing is on the wall. All the Giants have to do at this point in time is just hit the eject button. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you know, we'll talk about another quarterback. He's going to get a little bit more rope when it comes down to his development because last year he was drafted. He didn't even really play. Didn't make it through a full season. Didn't make it through half a season. Didn't make it through a quarter, really, of a season. His name is Anthony Richardson. We're going to talk about the Indianapolis Colts on the other side of the break. George Bremer is going to join us, covers all things Indianapolis Colts. Don't move. You're locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. You know, we opened up the show by talking about the performance of Anthony Richardson in the Indianapolis Colts last night. Anthony Richardson, some good, some bad, but it's still the preseason. The Indianapolis Colts are hoping that they see him for a full season. They have Joe Flacco as a backup. This was a team that was on the positive side of 500 last year. And are they going to be able to do that this year? What's up with the defense? How are they going to utilize a combination of Richardson and Taylor? There's so many questions to talk about them all. Joining us right now is someone who covers the Colts, who's a beat reporter and writer for them for the Herald Bulletin. It's George Bremer. George, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for taking the time. I guess the first question, what are your impressions and thoughts after the good and the bad of Anthony Richardson last night?
Yeah, you know, I don't think anything was really shocking. I think people probably here in Indy need to be ready for a bit of a roller coaster ride this year. I mean, he's only made, I think, 23 starts, I want to say, since high school, counting his high school career. You know, the physical talent is undeniable. We've seen his intelligence. We've seen his work ethic. He's got all the, you know, pieces, but the Colts said the day they drafted him, the biggest thing is he's raw and he needs, you know, experience. And he didn't get that last year, unfortunately, because of the injuries. So I think you're going to see, you know, he's going to have to learn on the job. And I think you're going to see ups and downs. That first drive, obviously, they'd love to see more of that on a regular basis. But I think they're ready to live with some of the downside, too. And I think also one thing from last night, they had him playing a lot from the pocket because it's a vanilla kind of scheme right now. You're not going to show a lot. I think he's one of those guys that when you get into those real game circumstances and you increase the tempo and you let him extend plays with his legs, he's a different player.
And George Bremer is here with us, covers the Indianapolis Colts. I guess the bigger issue isn't so much of where the ball ends up or the decisions that he makes, at least throwing the ball. It's his health. Has there been any type of emphasis as to how he should approach things when he gets outside for, or gets away from that line of scrimmage?
Definitely seen him slide a lot more in training camp this year, which I think is no coincidence. And he's talked a lot about, so has Shane Steichen, about the idea that, you know, understand the game situation, understand what you need in the moment, and get out of bounds. You know, don't take those unnecessary hits. But I think part of the thing last year was, you know, some of it's just unavoidable. I mean, the one that put him out was just a normal play. He's coming around the edge. Defender was a little bit faster than he expected. He falls on the wrong shoulder, and he's, you know, unfortunately he's out for the year. So I think there's definitely a focus on his part and on the team's part for him to play smart and to know when to kind of take that risk and when not to. But they also want to make sure that you're still going to, you know, that part of his game, his legs, is such an important element. You don't want to fully take that away.
And, George, you think about his, I don't want to call it his battery mate. Jonathan Taylor isn't worried about a contract. He's coming off of a year where he was injured the year prior to that. Is he going to have to be the bell cow to really carry this offense? I know they just drafted A.D. Mitchell. You want to throw the ball. Josh Downs has been rolling around now with a busted up ankle. Is Jonathan Taylor going to have to be the most reliable dude on this offense?
I think so. I don't think it's coincidence that the one series he played was the best series they had last night. I don't think that's a coincidence at all. I think they're going to run the ball a lot, and I think obviously he's going to be a big part of that. They feel like that tandem with Richardson and Taylor is unique and is something that can really stress opposing defenses. And I think it's obvious the ways Taylor can just open things up in the passing game for Richardson. You know, defense are going to have to put a lot of focus on JT, and that's going to make the read simpler for AR. It's, you know, in many ways, for years in the NFL, a good running game has been a young quarterback's best friend, and I think the Colts are expecting a really big season from Jonathan Taylor.
George Bremer is joining us, covers the Colts for the Herald Bulletin. Joe Flacco is making about $9 million as a backup. That says a whole hell of a lot, the fact that he's been brought in and the amount of money that he's making. Do you think at some point in this season he's going to get the call?
I don't think he'll get the call over a healthy Anthony Richardson. I think they're committed to the idea. They want to find out what they have, you know, with this mystery box, really, with AR. He was a high draft pick. We can see all the potential that he has, and they have said for years what he needs is reps, and I think they're going to ride him one way or another. I think the benefit of having Joe Flacco is twofold. One, if Anthony Richardson gets injured again, you have a guy who just did it last year, took Cleveland to the playoffs, coming off the couch, literally. You have a guy you feel very comfortable with coming in and still leading your offense. But also, I think they like having – he's another coach almost in many ways. Another set of eyes for Anthony Richardson to you know, what does defense do on this down? What do I need to do to make this throw work? You know, having Joe Flacco in that role is invaluable. And I think that's sort of intentional on the Colts' part, having that veteran back there who can kind of help accelerate – the growth that they hope they'll see from their second-year quarterback.
And we've done a lot of talking about the offense, George. You think about the defense. I would say the strength is the defensive line when you got Buckner and Stewart, who are names that most people are familiar with. And then when you get outside of that, it starts to go, well, who's that guy? Or I think I know him. What are your thoughts on the Indianapolis Colts defense?
There's a lot riding on their first-round pick, Laiatu Latu. This is a kid who had an outstanding camp, looked really solid in the preseason, the little bit of work he got, super quick off the ball, super athletic, nonstop motor, all those things that coaches love to talk about. But he's got to have a big year coming off the edge. And I think if he does, it makes Quiddy Pay that much better on the other side. And it really makes DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart that much more dangerous. Because I think for years, people have been kind of able to load up in the middle there and not maybe have to worry as much about what's coming off the edge. If Latu can change that, it could unlock something up front in the defense. The big question marks are on the back end. They know what they have in Kenny Moore. They know what they have in Julian Blackmon. But here we are 2 weeks from the start of the regular season. They still don't know who the other starting safety is. That feels like a pretty big concern.
Well, George, how does this bode for them when it comes to everybody else in the AFC South? The Texans went to the postseason last year and shocked everybody. The Jaguars, if they had a healthy Trevor Lawrence, they probably wouldn't have fallen off the face of the earth. The Titans, yeah, you got to see what you have, and Will Levis, certainly. Where do the Colts fit in? This is going to be a competitive division.
A very competitive division. I think especially with the quarterbacks. I mean, as you mentioned, C.J. Stroud, such a huge engine for that Houston run last year. Trevor Lawrence has already shown what he can do at this level, and nobody knows quite yet what Will Levis is, but I know there's a lot of excitement down there in Tennessee and hope that he can be a great quarterback. And the Colts have got to show that they can consistently defend that level of passing game. And, you know, it all rides up front. I think this team right now, the formula for success is to jump out with this high-powered offense and get a lead and then chase people down with that defensive line. I think if they have to play from behind, if they get stuck in, you know, tight games late and the other team's got the ball with 2 minutes to go, there's going to be some nervy moments at Lucas Oil Stadium for sure.
What do you think they're going to do this year?
Right now, I still have them in that same sort of 9-8 range where they've been for most of the last 4 or 5 years. I think there's a lot of potential on offense. I think there's reason to be optimistic about what they can do there. They were a top-10 offense last year, and they had about half a season from Jonathan Taylor and a quarter season from Anthony Richardson. But I think the back end of that defense, I think there's enough question marks there that I think it's going to keep them from getting where they want to go. Internally, their expectation is that they're going to win the AFC South for the first time since 2014. I think that's a big ask for this roster right now.
George Bremer is here with us, covers the Colts for the Herald Bulletin. How much patience is the fan base going to have? Not just with Anthony Richardson, but him and Shane Steichen. At what point are the fans going to go, all right, we've seen enough, it's time to pull this plug? They're not going to last the whole season, are they?
Some of them are already there now, I think. I mean, it's been a long time, you know, for this fan base. Not as long as it's been maybe in other cities around the league, but you go back to the Andrew Luck retirement, you know, right before the 2019 season, and fans are kind of, you know, over the whole rebuilding idea. They're done with the idea that this team's still looking for answers. They want Anthony Richardson to be that guy. They think there is a lot of optimism that Shane Steichen might be that guy, but he's got to go and prove it again in year two. We've seen plenty of coaches come out with a surprising year one and not be able to follow that up. But I think the fan base is absolutely ready to tip. You know, they want to see a winning football team, and they want to see it immediately. If things get off to a slow start, it could get ugly, no doubt about it, from a fan base standpoint.
Oh, boy. Well, I think Hickey knows about things getting ugly for the Colts, and so do you. Hickey, is that accurate? You agree with George there?
Yes, very much so. It's fingers crossed. We've seen some ugliness. 2 years ago does not need to be revisited. This is some hopefully good vibes coming here in 2024.
Okay, hopefully with the good vibes. Hey, George, thank you for bringing good vibes this way, man. Where can people follow you and all your work on what will be an interesting season?
Yeah, no doubt about it. On Twitter, I'm at GM Bremer, and you can follow all my stories at heraldbulletin.com/Colts.
All right, thank you so much, George. We'll catch you on down the line, okay?
No problem. Thanks a lot, guys. Anytime.
Piece of cake. That George Bremer covers the Colts for the Herald Bulletin. Yeah, there's a lot of up and down with that. I think about, and I've been to Indianapolis plenty of times, and people in the Midwest and Indiana, Indianapolis, and everybody is so cool and relaxed. There's nothing crazy going on. But they are going to lose their minds if these Colts suck. They are. I can hear it now. And I think the Colts, 9-8, Hickey, is that where you're putting them?
Well, you want to get crazy?
You're not going to tell me 10, right? 11
crazier.
Wins? 12 wins?
11. 11-5.
Whoa.
Or 11-6.
You are real high. Are you related to Anthony Richardson? Are y'all related? Did I
we
miss
do
look something?
Alike.
You do? Did I miss something?
Look, schedule. I know George said it before. There will, and maybe that, you know, maybe I'm guilty of not looking at as many downs as there probably will be with what is realistically a rookie quarterback. But I think we'll see more good than bad. They have a favorable schedule as well. Some of the hardest games to have are at home. 11-5, wild card.
11-5, so...
Or 11-6. I keep forgetting they're 17.
The
years.
Texans win, and they're right behind them?
I think the Texans win the division, yes. I think it's, you know, maybe with a tiebreaker, they're also 11-6, 12-5.
So you think both the Jags... That means the Titans and the Jags are both going to have to be relatively trash.
I'm a try.
No.
Jag to me, 8-9.
Oh, wow. You got the Jaguars sub 500, possibly.
I don't have them making the playoffs.
Okay. All right. I would disagree. I think I would put the Jaguars in the postseason before I put the Colts.
Damn.
We'll see. 11 wins for the Colts? Wow. Anthony Richardson is going to have to be real good, buddy. Have to be real, real
good. We just got all the bad out last night. That's what the preseason's for, right? Get all the bad out now.
You should hope. You should hope. We'll find out soon enough. We got one more week after this weekend. We got no games next weekend for the holiday. We will blink, and then we get the start of the NFL season. I'm looking forward to it. Even with all the changes, there's so many. There's some faces that are just gone. There's no Belichick anymore, and he'll be on TV. Pete Carroll will be at USC. He said he's going to be teaching. We don't know the details. So there's still a lot to figure out. But I'm looking forward to the start of the season, even with all of the changes that have taken place. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. If you want to holler at me, it's simple. 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back, speaking of change, you know, yesterday we told you that Pete Carroll, I told you again, Pete Carroll is going to be teaching at USC. He didn't give us any details. But Lincoln Riley is going to embrace his presence with open arms? Really? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. And more football.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to George Bremer from the Herald Bulletin. He covers all things Indianapolis Colts. Thank you for joining us. In the last break, if you missed the conversation, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. He pretty much said, hey, looking at Anthony Richardson this year, it's like the mystery box. That reminds me of Mario Kart. Remember that little mystery box? Hickey, you know the mystery box with the question mark. You hit it, you don't know what comes out of it.
That's right. And sometimes good, sometimes bad. Was it like rainbow colored or like high, like it was like almost like glow?
Yes, it was like rainbow colored, upside down, flipping all over the place.
And you hit it,
and maybe you got turtle shells to throw at people.
The best are the red ones.
Yeah, to chase after people, right?
Right.
Yeah. Nothing bad came out of that, ever. No. A banana peel, you get a banana peel.
You get the green ones where you got to aim, make sure your aim is good to hit them.
Yeah.
Mm. Turbo boost.
That's right. Look at Mario, you're a Mario Kart aficionado, huh?
As you could tell, I have played.
What, on like the GameCube or Wii?
Nintendo DS.
DS. That's the handheld thing, right?
Handheld.
Okay. All right.
I played on, you know, others as well, but that was like the main, when I was younger, that was the main device we used.
Okay. A DS. Doesn't that didn't also connect to the television?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I mean, I don't think technology that, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago was that advanced. I don't believe. I could be wrong.
Yeah, Nintendo had something that plugged into the TV. Maybe that's the Switch. I'm out of the loop, man. I spend too much time on the radio. Hickey, what am I doing?
You want to get back in the loop here for a second?
What do you mean?
Would you be shocked if I told you? Let's see if you get the context here.
What?
He did it again.
Aaron Judge hit another home run.
49.
Are you kidding me? The man hit another home run? Oh, my goodness. What is
he
doing?
In his last 8 games.
This guy hit another home run.
I think he's homered in every game since you said, hey, all I want is for him to stay healthy and hit as many home runs as he can. He is delivering.
Hickey, I said last night I said I want to start betting. But I said the minute I start, well, I haven't. So maybe I shouldn't. Damn. Enough. This is home. You said home run number 49?
49. He right now is on pace to match his AL record of 62 homers.
Oh, my goodness. They're not drug tested. This guy doesn't get drug tested every day. I thought Major League Baseball cares about this stuff, right?
He's a star, so, you know, they'll care about it like the NCAA, like 10 years from now.
The guys who just played for Team USA, I think Anthony Edwards said that He Steph Curry, and somebody else were drug tested like every day. It was just like, well, Steph Curry can't be this good. He has to be on drugs. Where have you been for the past 10 years? I don't. They're like, oh, yeah, we couldn't celebrate the way we wanted to. They kept drug testing us. Okay. All right. Man, by another home run. I've turned the game on here in the studio. What are these idiots? How they still throwing the ball? Did the guy miss? Of course he missed. That's how it happened, right?
Yeah, it was a little more inside, so he kind of had to bring his hands in a little bit, kind of yanked it down the line.
I just saw it. Oh, my God. He sent this one to left field. He pulled it. Oh, my God.
Not bad.
This is how you make. He's how you make money. Ain't nobody else showing up to Yankee Stadium for nothing. The Yankees would be losers if he wasn't out there. They would be losers. Aaron Judge is worth the price of admission, man. Damn. 49 home runs. Sheesh. 855-212-4227. That's 855-4227. Another home run. What is he doing? Dan is here from Wisconsin. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Dan?
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about NFL expectations. I'm an old, little background. I'm a 60-year-old old dog Packer fan. You know, I read. We got, let's see, two of them. We were in three Super Bowls. One, two.
Okay.
And tell
me about now, Dan. What's up?
Yeah. Last year, it was the most of all those years.
Wow.
Last year was the most entertaining.
Okay. Why, because the season started off like trash and you turned it around?
Well, no. I was like, okay, we get 8 wins this year. Mm. You know, a lot of analysts had us in the basement. We were one touchdown from the Super Bowl. It's like Houston fans, I'm sure, went through the same thing. And then now this year, now it's expected, you know. It was so entertaining because there was no pressure as a fan. It's like, let's just see how this turns out, you know. Aaron Rodgers, of course, every year was supposed to be, you know, if he didn't get deep in the playoffs.
Well, would you rather have a team that's growing, or would you rather have a team that can at least grow from the moment last year? I mean, it's natural. It's natural.
Yeah.
And thank you, Dan, for calling from Wisconsin. It's natural to have a thought that, hey, we may go backwards. Like, you ain't sneaking up on anybody. And I love how Dan referenced the Texans in the same boat, because they are. Like, they're not sneaking up on anybody. You know, Hickey and I talked about this when it came down to C.J. Stroud yesterday. Like, what are the odds that he's not going to go out there and say, oh, I'm only going to throw, you know, 3 and 5 interceptions. He'll probably have double digit. This guy will be the greatest quarterback of all time. If every season he's just out there, he's just like, yeah, so I don't throw more than 5 interceptions, he'd be the greatest. But Hickey, you had a great point. You said, well, he might throw more touchdowns and also more interceptions and might be more productive. It's real touch and go with QBs. Like, sometimes you got to let it rip and go for the risk. Like, you can't be too conservative in play. And for Jordan Love, I mean, they turned things on at the end of last year. He threw 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and now he's getting the big money. Of course, there's a thought that they may take a step back. The Bears are likely to be better. You can beat up all you want, probably, on the Minnesota Vikings. Sam Darnold might go out there and surprise folks. So it's going to be interesting what happens in the NFC North. There's just a lot of parity all over the league, all over the NFL. I mean, I'm looking at the divisions right now. NFC North, you got 3 teams that are, let me just go down the list. AFC East, you got 3 teams going to punch each other in the mouth. The AFC West, whatever. You know, the Chiefs, Raiders will be whatever. The Broncos should be average, maybe slightly above. The Chargers, I expect them to be average. AFC North will be people punching each other in the mouth between the Ravens, Bengals, and Browns. The Steelers will get their hits in there. AFC South, we just talked about how difficult that's going to be. NFC East, 2-team race, okay? You got the Eagles, you got the Cowboys. Eagles should win. The Giants and Commanders will fight for a 3rd and 4th. NFC West, 49ers and everybody else. Rams will be good. Maybe they'll get back into the playoffs again. Nobody talks about the Rams getting in last year. Bears, NFC North is tough. NFC South, it's just the Falcons and maybe the Buccaneers. Saints will get some hits. The Panthers will be the punching bag. Hickey, the majority of the divisions, everything is tight this year. I appreciate that.
You're right. It does not feel like there's a team or even 2 or 3 that are like head and shoulders better than everybody else. And I think it's going to make for a very fun year in both conferences and be one of the more entertaining seasons we've had in a while.
We need that. You know, for too long, the NFL, okay, granted, we have the Kansas City Chiefs. It doesn't matter what they look like or what's going on. If they get into the playoffs, you know that they're going to be a threat. Outside of the Chiefs, things are wide open. You can go ahead and, you know, we can do the pecking order. We know. You can start thinking about the Niners again and the Lions and throw the Ravens and Bills in there. Even though I think the Bills have taken a step back, we've already discussed that. This is fun. And so if the Packers take a step back, or if they're average, or if they're good, or what have you, the fact that they're even in the mix, from a fan's perspective, is good by me. I'm not a Packers fan. I don't care. But I don't see them taking no massive steps back. They do have to figure out the wide receiver position, but I think that'll play itself out. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to call me? You can hit me up too. 855-212-4227. When we come back from break, we're going to talk more football, NFL, and college, it all. And then let's see if Aaron Judge hits another home run in the break. Don't move. Your Infinity Sports Network. It's me, JR.